You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome, guest, to Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm Patrick.
What voice is this?
I'm Bob.
And I'm Tom, and I would like to know what voice that is.
That's
like a cold open.
No, that's a local NPR affiliate.
Okay.
Very well. Do they even have NPR in upstate New York?
Of course. Come on. Car Talk? People live for that shit.
I know.
That's prime entertainment.
I know. But Car Talk's not Albany. You know what I mean? Did they have any Albany-based shows that went national? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Alan Shartok. He's the king.
Oh, true. Good job. All right. Shout out and thank you to our sponsors, Closed Casket Activities.
Oh, hell yeah. Alan Shartok.
Shout out and thank you to Live a Lie.
Wait, don't tell me.
Shout out and thank you. You're so desperately missing bad American culture. Shout out and thank you to Run for Cover Records.
Our affiliate at Democracy Now.
And shout out and thank you to Convulse Records.
A Prairie Home Companion? Is that
yes. One? Nailed it.
Boom. Lake Wobegone is in the rear view because we're going to convulserecords.com. Convulserecords.com. Hey, Patrick, we got a little debut right now. The track is called Avenge. It's the first single. The track is called Avenge. It's the first single from Sentinel's debut LP, Age of Decay. Comes out December 8th on Convulse Records. Pre-orders are up now. Let's listen to that song.
Go.
Hell yeah. A dude will hear that song and just go, hell yeah. 100%. Mike Shaw, wild guitar player. Love it. It's stompy. It's fast enough. It's got that. It's got those solos, man. That's what I want. I just want guitars. This is guitar music for guitar men. ConvulseRecords.com. Get that pre-order now. You know it's going to go fast. Thank you, Convulse Records. We love you.
Shout out.
Guys, a little behind the scenes before we go to Run for Cover, runforcoverrecords.com. This is the first recording I'm doing in my own little private Axe to Grind office here.
Mm. Yeah, really?
It's in my house. It's a 5.5 by 5.5 room. So small. One might call it like a converted closet, but you know, like it's nice. It's a nice place to be. So that's all good. It's all superfluous information other than the fact that I walked in here and it is cold in this room.
No, I don't fuck with
There's
that.
There's no vents. I know. But here is where it comes in nicely. I've been doing this thing where I only open my mail every quarter. Like I'll order stuff and just let it pile up. I highly recommend it to people. Tom, I'm going to request your time at some point in the next week, and we're going to do a Patreon only unboxing of all my stuff.
We'll
do the video. It's fun. but I did have to break into it because after last week's Convulse Records read, I ordered not only the Convulse Records dad hat, but the Convulse Records hoodie, which was conveniently in a bag right next to me. So threw that shit on. Yo, it's nice. It's a champion hoodie. Ooh, I'm like,
oh, high quality.
Very comfortable. Nice. Ah, I'm feeling good. So based on the success of last week's record draft, we are going to runforcoverrecords.com. We're clicking on RFC apparel and we are drafting some merch. The way this works is that only one of us can pick one item and then somebody else has to pick another. Patrick, you get the first pick of today's draft. Tom, you're next and I'll bat cleanup. So kick it off. Patrick, what would you like from the Run for Cover Records apparel selection?
Let's see. I think I've been on record that the their new logo is very clean. The one they've had the last few years, very clean logo. Looks good on the beanies, but I'm not much of a beanie fella, but I am going to England in February, so I'm getting the beanie.
Mm-hmm. You're going for the beanie. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it's a rare one for me, but
I understand. I think they need to throw that on a baseball cap. It would look sharp, really sharp. Tom, you are up with the second pick overall in the Run for Cover Records merch draft. What do you select?
I am selecting the Run for Cover Grillo's Pickle Collabo, the Pickle Gig shirt.
Ooh.
It's awesome. It looks like the Peanuts, like mosh, you know, like.
Oh, yeah.
It's a cartoon, bunch of people moshing. Pickles are just jamming.
Jamming.
I like pickles and I like Run for Cover, you know, so hi.
I like pickles. Good pick. I think that's solid. I think you got some good value there. Bright color shirt. It's a nice shirt that you could wear that to a family gathering. You might get some questions, but like also it's just got a bunch of pickles on it. What do you want from me? Guys, I'm in a hoodie kind of mood. Hoodie kind of mood because, man, I'm wearing one feeling really nice. I am going for the Run for Cover logo hoodie in black. Exactly what Patrick said, that RFC logo they've been using for the last couple years. So smooth, so clean. I have the Puffy Ink Outline logo shirt in white, but I got to be honest, I don't own many white t-shirts. I'm a black t-shirt kind of guy at this point in my life. That black hoodie looks real good to me. So I think I'm going to opt for that and call it a day. I hope you guys do too. Send us photos of you wearing Run for Cover gear. That'd be cool. I want to see it. Let's see it. Show us the gear you're rocking. Runforcoverrecords.com. Thank you, everybody. Guys, how you doing? How you feeling?
What is happening?
Stretching. He's stretching. This is early morning for Patrick still, remember?
No, I was kind of wondering how I'm doing. I think I'm good. I think I'm mildly stressed. I got a lot of stuff to do today, which is not a problem except Tom,
I gotta watch like four YouTubes.
I gotta watch four YouTubes, maybe five YouTubes. I gotta watch a bunch of shorts. I gotta
figure out who this band sounds like.
I gotta go on the Wikipedia for gangs in New Zealand. No, you know, Tom, you might have this experience. You've got stuff to do, no problem. Okay. But then there's a meeting where you have to discuss the stuff that you gotta do. So now you've got a deadline. You've got a deadline basically. Because it's not a hard deadline, but you just know that, oh, hey, I can't put the shit off any further than that meeting because we're going to discuss it in that meeting. And that's how I'm feeling today. I'm feeling, hey, I got to discuss shit in the meeting. Don't love it.
Well,
sounds like a job.
It's a job. Some might consider it a job.
Got it.
We got old Job out here with the job. Woe is Patrick.
Bunch of pale Patrick over here.
Yeah, grapes of wrath, man. Go get yourself on the
that's right.
Dust Bowl. Here we go.
That's right. Tom, how you doing? How you feel?
Yes. Tom, how you doing?
I'm having meetings. I'm good.
I'm be having a meeting. Guys, I had a virtual meeting this week, this morning, with a rather lively 8 a.m. group chat this morning. Patrick, you're part Greek, right? Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so we can talk about this without potentially offending anybody. We love our Greek friends. And
is that
friends.
How that works?
I'm covered.
You just have to have somebody who's got a little bit, then everyone else in that
clear.
Crew can be like, here's another thing.
Yeah, we're clear.
That's how it works.
I got my brother-in-law is Greek, so my nieces and nephews are Greek, and I love Greeks. Chain Cult, oh, what a band. It was posed in the chat. You're familiar with Jesse Katsopoulos, Uncle Jesse from Full House?
I do.
John Stamos.
Yeah, Mr. Stamos. And you're familiar with Balky Bartokomos?
Of course. That one's probably lost on a lot of our listeners, but yes.
They can find it on the island of Meepos. This was a fantastic question. Who would you rather hang out with for a weekend?
Currently Balky, single, Patrick, probably, good looking ass Stamos. We're getting into all the spots.
You're getting in, Tom, what's your answer?
I mean, I'm going Stamos. Cause like, yeah, like you're getting in all the spots. There's only so much, you know, he can only have so many fun times. And yeah, I'm like turtle in the, you know, like in, if this is Entourage, I'm getting like, not to sound gross,
you're winging. Yeah, well let me just put it like this, single or not, we all kind of like Balky in our heads, right?
But he's a lot.
Balky fucking sucks. Balky sucks.
Yeah, like he's a Jesse idiot. Plays drums, we could maybe jam.
Yeah, like well and to pull back to the comment I made in the chat is that, you know, we are all friends with Uncle Jesse. How many of your friends are in their 30s living in a house in a city they can't really afford with a bunch of friends who are also involved in guitar music? We all have a bunch of Uncle Jesse friends.
Very true.
Balky,
maybe that's a new term.
Balky with his dumb question. Come on, what are we talking about, Balky? I know it seems fun that Balky's going to be your friend, but anyways, we lost Patrick. I think he is currently looking for Balky Bartokomos' internet connection. Because
he's in Meepos now.
I know. Yo,
and he's not working in Meepos.
God, what would you give, Tom, for Patrick's internet connection to be slightly better, at least so we can get Transformers Patrick back?
That would be pretty fun.
God, anybody who hasn't heard that, I think that's actually, I think that the best of those episodes is on our Patreon. It's where Patrick's voice and everybody who's done any sort of a Zoom call or online call, even like some bad phone calls at this point, you get the digitized, like, yes.
And Patrick turned into a Deftone song. It was weird.
Oh, God. And he was full on Megatron on a couple of them. And and we're bawling laughing. So go to patreon.com/actigrindpodcast. Support us there. Just a couple bucks to get in. And it really helps. We have a lot of people who listen and support. Totally appreciate it. You are truly the wind beneath our wings. And there's, I think, about 100 episodes on there. Lots of really good stuff. And we need that support, to be very honest. It's we don't do a ton of ads. You hear us do the ad reads. It's labels we support. It's nice. They are partners, but that's not what makes it so we can all put aside a pretty decent amount of time every week to do this stuff. So anyways, thank you. We appreciate you. We love you. Patrick's internet connection is still out.
Jeez. 12-20. About us, what do you think about the in-season tournament, Bob?
So far I've enjoyed it. I had the same skepticism that I think there were a lot of people who had. Some of the courts are whack. True. Like maybe 50%, maybe 70%. But they got to fine-tune them,
right?
That's right. Oh, no. Oh no, a storm yesterday has Perth Wi-Fi all
fucked up. You fellas might have to go do it.
Oh no. Oh no. All right, well, we can talk basketball for 1 second. But I think that actually players are kind of playing hard for it. I think they want it. I think it's slightly...
Now, there's money involved, right?
500K. So for the big names, it's not much. But for like a solid...
Like number 9 out of 10 on the guy? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's. I mean, basically from the bench on, that's not... That's not insignificant.
And it's, I mean, it's games they would have played anyway. There are no additional games, correct?
No, exactly. There's going to be one additional game, which is the championship game of the whole thing, and that's it. So,
and when's that?
December 9th, I believe.
Oh, soon. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's only like a 5-week thing, so it's pretty condensed. You play five round games on Tuesdays and Fridays rather, and you know, this then it's just right in. So it's kind of a sprint to it. So I'm in. I think it's fun. I think it's a creative, cool way to do it. And, you know, it sort of makes me think like, well, what do you think of it first?
I mean, I didn't, you know what, like I had heard about it and then I was like, oh, wait a minute. I didn't think it was going to, number one, I didn't think it was happening so early. Mm-hmm. And then I couldn't really find, like, I wanted to see, like, does this have any impact on the postseason? Does it have like, does it end up being a tiebreaker in any way? Like, I didn't know what it was kind of doing. And then I was like, oh, it's part of the regular season. So I was assuming it was going to be like the World Baseball Classic.
Oh, like a separate kind of standalone.
Stuff just stops while they do this. But I'm like, oh, no, it's just like,
kind of, yeah.
Yeah. They like seeded the teams in a certain way and mixed it up a little bit. Yep. And then I think this is their way of forcing people to not do the rest game, you know, taking.
Yeah. And honestly, to push the early season to make it so it's like, make it so it's more relevant. And like,
which I think feels makes sense.
Something,
I
mean, you know, 100% early part of the season. Well, this is the other question, and then we can tie this to hardcore. This is an innovation. This is something new and different to a sport that, like, yo, a lot of people would say, ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, do you think that's the right energy to have towards hardcore, where it's like, hey, thing ain't broke, don't fix it. Thing ain't broke, but innovation, new ideas, new stuff doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to think like the innovation's cool, just because. Yeah. I mean, otherwise, like hardcore, that everything sounded like 1980s would be awesome. But
well, it'd probably get old after a while. You know what I mean?
If after a while, you know, and I think
limited scope.
Yeah, and I think sports have done that. Like, you know, it's like baseball kind of cutting things out to make the games go faster, or like starting a runner on second base in the extra innings and stuff like that. It's like, okay, you know what I mean? People are so steadfast, and I think sports fans especially, because it's like all they've known their whole life, they're less like, yeah. I think hardcore is a little bit more like willing to be a little bit flexible.
Yeah. No, I mean,
you know what I mean? Because it's not like you're like, if someone came around, like, you know, like Roger Moret probably wasn't like, I don't like this metalcore stuff.
No, right.
You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Because it was like, it's his whole life, but it's like, it wasn't since you were 4, you were used to playing baseball this way. And now all of a sudden it's like a random runner on second base who's the guy who made the last out in the last inning.
Oh, interesting. So that's actually a cool way to think about it, is the idea of what innovation is and what can be changed versus what feels like you're taking it out of the space, right? Where
Right. Like, yeah, you're just changing the game for the sake of just changing it.
Right. Which, so with music or art, I'm more open to those ideas, et cetera. Because, like, literally, sports are games. Games have rules. Now, that doesn't mean the rules can't be changed, broken, rewritten, etc. Totally can. But sometimes when you do that with a game, the game changes fundamentally in a really big way. With music, art, hardcore, punk, if you don't have those continued moments of innovation and influx of new ideas, you start to get looped in the circle, in the cycle of it just being like, this is the thing. Tom, are you familiar with the band Greta Van Fleet?
Yes.
So
people don't like them. They're huge, but everybody hates them.
Because they're essentially just doing cosplay Led Zeppelin, right? Right. And like, yo, I'm a huge Led Zeppelin fan, really big. Enough so that it's like, oh, this band sounds like Led Zeppelin. I should hear it. So I was like, all right, let me listen. And I'll be real. Some of it was like, well, it's pretty good. Not a single note stuck to my bones. And it was one of those things like, if I really gave it a shot and really wanted to gung-ho it, I'm sure I could find some stuff I like about it. But I listened. It was like, I'm not bothered by this, but I'm not pulled in. There's nothing on this that's pulling me in. Even as much as it's like, man, I wish Led Zeppelin wrote four more records, you know?
Right, so, like I didn't get enough of what they already had. Yeah, their catalog was not enough. But here's my question for you. So, like, if do you think hardcore in 2023 as compared to 1980 is like the equivalent of like basketball? Like, you know, you can have there's a 25 point shot.
It's like
if you grabbed a fucking guy that was going to see fucking DOA in 1981 and played them Botch or played them.
Right. Oh, drop him in the pit. Tsunami. Drop him in the pit of a Knocked Loose concert. Right.
Right. And they'd be like, this is hardcore. They'd be like, wait, what?
Right.
Like I feel like baseball makes these little incremental things or this basketball's like incremental changes. They add the 3-point line, you know, all this sort of stuff. But like this is like it's almost changing and it's it would be unrecognizable.
Like, does this feel like rock and jock basketball with the like
but I mean at the same time like the guy who started basketball like by shooting in like apple boxes or whatever.
Peach baskets, that's right.
Like, you know, watching Wemby is probably like what?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
you know, games used to be 6'2", and now they're 150 to 139, you know?
Yeah, no, yes and no. I mean, yes, if you take the fella from First Wave, whatever concert you want to pick it, let's say 1981 hardcore show anywhere, USA, and drop them at a far extreme version, you know what I mean?
They might be
really confused, whatever that is. You know, they might be, and that could be said not just 2023, even, you know, if you drop them at a, you know, an Earth Crisis show in 95, a Screamo show in San Diego in 2001. You know what I mean? Right. Like, there's all these moments where it was like, whoa, this is so unrecognizable to me. So, yes, in one way, it's the 25 point shot. But in another, are there rooms and moments in time where you could take that person from the 1981 show and drop them at a show and they'd feel like not much has changed? And I'd say yes. And absolutely. I'd say I have maybe more of a problem with that than the inverse. And it's not to say that I think it's all bad. So I'm gonna speak loosely about a band who I need to, for people to know, I really enjoy and think was great live and maybe even better on recording. Amdi Petersen's Army. Think they were from Denmark. They were fantastic. Fantastic. They did a couple 7-inches, I think. Went on to do folks from that band went on to do a lot of different bands. I believe some went on to do Gorilla Angreb, some other stuff. I'm not 100% sure on the lineage from there, but Amdi Petersen's Army did 2 7-inches, the second of which sounds so authentically like, oh, this is a Danish Discord Records band from 1983. Like, it just sounds like what you would wish Government Issue was, like somewhere between Youth Brigade DC and SOA and Government Issue is this APA 7-inch. To the point that when you saw these folks at that moment in time, they were so in that they really looked like cutouts from, you know, Touch and Go fanzine. They just had the look down to a point that it felt you know, and like I said, I don't know these folks, and I'm praising their band, and I'm telling everyone in the sound of my voice to seek it out and hear it. It felt like cosplay, like the hardest version of that.
Right.
And that was kind of a bummer. In the same way as I'm, you know, like, look, man, the older I get, the easier it is for me to push away and say, actually, when I used to perceive that I didn't like people in uniforms or costumes, I just didn't, I was in, you know, a version of my own of whatever hardcore shirt and, you know, of my look. But as you get older, you realize, okay, you realize that. But at the time, I remember thinking, oh, man, this is such a put on. And it felt really incongruous, despite the fact these were the bands I loved at the time. These were the shows I was going to. I specifically went to see this band because I knew the record and loved them. I saw it, right, and it put me out a bit because I felt like I was like a man out of time. So
yeah, you're watching like a tribute band.
Yes. And so that's something
like, you know, to a gross extent.
Right. And we've talked about this. There's this weird push and pull of reverence to bands, sounds, etc. of the past that we all kind of connect with, because it's funny that this topic came up, because this was potentially one of my conversation pieces for tonight, where we want it, and it's a great way to, it creates the culture of this whole thing, this idea of like, hey, you like Turnstile, well, you should make sure you hear Bad Brains, because you can hear a lot of that Eye Against Eye, etc. Oh, you know what? Singer's voice sort of sounds like the dude from Snapcase. Musically, I don't think it's close, but if you like the way this dude sounds, maybe check this thing out. Oh, one of these guys also played in this band, Trapped Under Ice. Does it sound the same? No, but it carries a lot of similar high energy appeal that someone who listens to Turnstile now might vibe on. So it's all these threads, some that are directly sonic, some that are, this dude used to be in this band. Some that are, hey, this one component sort of sounds like this. All these cool references, right? And when you lose some of that, you lose some of that breadth and depth that we have right now, right? Like, Tom, like, if I went back in time to 1998 and said, oh, Tom, you know what? There's this band that sort of sounds like Madball meets Indecision with a touch of Strife. You might go, really? Okay. And then if I was like, oh, there's a band that sounds like, to me, the midway point between Mouthpiece and Indecision, you'd be like, oh, okay. You could start to picture that. But like,
yeah,
we're at a point now where those are almost just like, yeah, of course. Of course, there's a band that sounds like halfway between Madball and Indecision. You know, when I said Mouthpiece and Indecision, I was like, yeah, Magnitude's kind of right there. I mean, obviously, we could go for some more new age pulls, but I think they sound more like Outspoken than Mouthpiece. But anyways.
Yeah, the same. You mean,
very, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Of course.
We're at a point where these things like are crossbred in such a weird way that if we didn't, how much more samey would a lot of these sounds be? If we were just like, I mean, that's, oh, this is a Minor Threat band, this is a Youth of Today band, and everything just stops right there, you know, like, or even earlier, yeah, it's just the first wave. I think that's that's where we lose the spirit and energy of the idea of what hardcore should be, is when it's not continuing to innovate and change and evolve. You know, and that's not to say, like I don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Yeah, you don't want to go too far afield, because I feel like, not to speak for you, but I think sometimes you probably feel like it's a little pretty, it's a little far afield from like my definition,
right,
of hardcore. You know what I mean? Sure. Like, I think, you know, like, I mean, I think that's totally fair. And I think even with me, even leaning a little bit on that like heavier part of hardcore at times, sure, I go, wow, this is not what I would have thought was hard. You know what I mean? And that's not my fucking, that's neither of our place to say. But that's right, why I think we always talk, like, to me, the 90s were such an important part of like the hardcore history, like, because I think that's where like the innovation really kind of came into play full bore,
right?
For better or for worse.
No, I'm, yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, I think, you know, you know, you can have opinions either way, but I think like having that was the first like real sea change in hard, like obviously the OGs of hardcore, like, you know, that's the most important, but like I feel like that was the first time that there was like a full kind of like left turn.
I think that I completely agree. Here's what I think about the 90s and the way it should be kind of framed is that the very first wave of hardcore, and this is speaking anecdotally, but you can also read about it and read from yeah. these things. And I think that's, if you ever want to read, like, I think the most interesting time period is in the 80s is the time between the first wave of stuff, which is you get your Boston stuff like SSD, DYS, et cetera, the Exclaim records. You get the early Discord stuff, Minor Threat, et cetera. You get the Negative Approach. You get the Touch and Go stuff, all that, Necros, Meat Men. You get, you know, some of the West Coast stuff. But you get this break, especially with those scenes I just mentioned, Midwest, Boston, D.C., where those bands do the thing, do the sound that basically becomes the, like, meat and potatoes of hardcore. Maybe write a 7-inch, maybe write a couple records, you know, almost without fail. You know, there's a few outliers, Government Issues one. But they do the hardcore sound and then go, and then what? And now what do I do? You know, whether it's SSD going right. kind of hair metal, whether it's Negative Approach folks going Laughing Hyenas, Minor Threat, even from the 7-inch to Out of Step, you hear the evolution, but then those folks going in all different directions, including to Embrace and Fugazi and whatever, they go in now what? The second generation of 80s goes, wait, that stuff's neat. Whatever you're doing now, this evolution is cool, but we like that meat and potatoes. We're going to redo that. Cool. The 90s as a decade looks at hardcore, looks at punk and goes, and now what? Where do we go from here? Not to say that the original sound is toast, but we feel like it's been done. What can we do with this?
Right,
what's now next? Here's our noise. What's our noise? And that's in a lot of different directions. Patrick, you're back.
Yeah. We, in the 90s, we said we'll our see. Noise is poorly played metal. Let's go.
Well, so anyways, hang back so you can hear us and you'll catch in. Here's my question, Tom, and this was because I agree. We're talking about the idea of innovation in hardcore, Patrick, and how much is good, how much is bad. Should we see, is there anything? So the NBA is doing an in-season tournament, funky courts, alternative jerseys, this concept to try to push interest now and give people and players motivation to play hard beginning of the year. We talked about this as an innovation in a sport that most people would say is a, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. This thing ain't broke.
Yeah. What was the previous innovation when you say, Bob, the 3-pointer?
No. They like little tinkering.
I'm like rule change.
Oh, you know what? I would say, yeah, and hand check. I'd say the actual one is when they officially were like, hey, we're going to let players have like 2.5 steps, you know, and like where you see players doing moves like the James Harden step back and like the sidestep things where it's like, if you're looking at that from 1980, you're looking and going, he just took 3 steps. What's he doing? You know?
Right. Well, like Gianna takes off from like the fucking foul line. He runs 3 times. Like, yeah, he takes full.
Exactly.
Full
they give, fucking, they, yeah, they allow basically 3 steps. And, you know, that means you slip one.
But back. That's not like on the books.
No. But the 3 is.
That's like the, you can the, do 3, the, you know? The refs looking the other way.
Yes. But so anyways, the idea of what point innovation is good in a sport versus the idea of like how much innovation is good in hardcore and what have you, and where does it cross your own personal thresholds? Tom, one point I thought, and I think this is interesting, and Patrick, you chime in too. I love a lot of alternative music from the 90s.
It was a great decade for music, period. Yeah,
great decade for music. Like the alt rock, a lot of that stuff. I never would have imagined what a huge impact it would have on hardcore. And it has a huge impact on hardcore right now. Like in 2023, I actually, spoiler, one of my questions for the evening was going to be, what is the influence box on hardcore 2023? and I'll unpack that more either later or as we go through things today. But like alternative rock of the 90s, which can be the breath from like grunge, industrial,
right, you'll be know, quicksand to Gin Blossoms,
post-hardcore, things, you know, not quite to nu metal, because I think that's a separate interest, like influence group, which is also huge, but
humongous.
Like, I hear certain records, you know, and it could be everything from stuff like Military Gun or Drug Church, which some of that's worn on the sleeve, fiddlehead, to stuff like Initiate, where I'm like, oh yeah, these are, there's a lot of like alt rock riffing here, and it's very interesting to me as we go through and go, oh, okay, cool. Like, this is sort of being pulled in, and it's not to say, like, it's not to say that those records aren't hardcore or hardcore adjacent because they have some alt rock riffing, but it's to say, hey, this is kind of being pulled in and woven into the fabric to the point where, like, yo, if someone likes Drug Church, you kind of can't say, oh, should listen to them. Oh, what are some bands that influence them that I should check out? If I like Drug Church, rock, if you like, Seaweed should be on that list, right?
Very, very certainly.
So that's kind of interesting. So that's kind of where I've been interested in where the innovations have taken hold. And as we continue to go, I think people are less ardent about, you know, like the old timey rules, of stuff, which is good and bad. But to this point, we haven't lost. Oh, that's a good question, actually. I'll pivot to you guys. Have we lost the kernel? Has Hardcore 2023 lost the kernel of the thing that makes hardcore different from other musics? I know. I threw down a big question out of nowhere.
Yeah, so I was dealing with Australia internet for a moment, so forgive me if I tread familiar ground here, but I forfeit. I give up. I'm not. I was never a good candidate for gatekeeper anyway, because
sure,
I really loved a lot of the '90s stuff that a lot of the '80s guys thought was reprehensible. So I'm not that guy. Also, it's debatable if I played hardcore music, you know, more than two albums in my life. You know what I mean? Some would say that my output is just not far removed. So I'm not gatekeeper guy, but I've completely given up on even trying to monitor you know, the changes because, I'm also very difficult to please. When the demo core stuff that feels like genre exercise comes out, I'm very dismissive. And then when something is too innovative, I say, come on, man. You know what I mean? You could have just done this on alternative rock radio. You know what I mean? You don't got to be playing my VFW with this. So there's, you know, my VFW, I own one.
You are a veteran of farm.
I'm a veteran of 1,000.
Thank you for your service, Patrick.
Thank you. So, you know, look, there comes a point probably in every listener's life where they're no longer the guy. If they ever were, and I'm no longer the guy that's able to, so, you know, the young people get to decide the direction of a thing.
You hit a point. Oh, let's get Tom in here. Cause we'll pull some of your stuff apart, but I agree with most of what you said, other than the part about you stealing Valor, but that's okay.
I just want that blooming onion.
I know. Where's my discount? Let's go. Tom, what about you? Has it lost the kernel, the nut, the little thing, or no?
Sonically or philosophically?
Ooh, take me.
Sonically, I'd say no.
Okay. Yeah.
Philosophically, quite possibly.
You have the conversation.
Yeah. I mean, not across the board, but some, yeah.
So some, here's one weird, very like tangible duh question. When's the last time you went to a hardcore show and saw a band cover a classic hardcore song?
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I mean, I'm sure it's happened. I just can't think of one off the
top. I know. And it's tough. It's tough because also it might just wash over.
Cutdown did Cro-Mags over the weekend. I know that much.
Hell yeah, Cutdown. Shout out. Patrick, how about you? Do you remember it? No.
Ask the question again. I'm getting this is a very frustrating podcast on my end. I'm getting Wi-Fi problems plus emergency phone calls. This is I'm sieged today, gentlemen.
Okay. Well, if you need a bounce, you let us know. But stick with us for let's try to make it 22 minutes.
what was the question? Our
Spotify overlords. The question is, when is the last time you remember being at a show and seeing a band cover song, specifically a classic hardcore song?
In Jakarta the other day, Glue. So it's about as classic as it gets.
Oh, that's right. There you go. Who covered it?
Zip.
Shout out Zip. Everybody check out Zip. You got to hear it. Here's the thing. This was a weird marker. For better or worse, because I mean, if we were doing this podcast in 1998, we might be sitting on the line going on our party line in the 1990s going, hey, enough of the covers. Bands are doing too many covers. We just want to hear your originals. It was just a thing that bands did more frequently. Big bands, little bands, you had a cover in your set. Maybe you didn't play it every time. But you played a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Why it became that, to me, was a tokenized like oral history. Well, yeah, sure. 100%. But even more so, it's a oral tradition. It's a, hey, here's how we pass along these musics.
Sure.
You know what I mean? How many times, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, but again, many episodes are people's first episodes. Hearing Redemption 87 covering The Antidote, hearing Band X cover classic band from their area was the way you got exposed to that existing in your world. As I hope anyone listening to this, the moment when you're in hardcore, into the music and going to shows like it's your life, like you need it just as much as you need air and water is to go to that show down the street. Okay. You seeing those things kind of were part of these traditions. So my answer is sonically, I don't think it's gone. Philosophically, it is very different, but not in the ways that I think we'll sometimes talk about the business side, this, that, the other. That stuff's just kind of more in front right now in this moment. Hello, here we are. I think about some of these little things that get lost. These are the minutia things, the referential things. And some of that, I don't think the zines, doing a zine, doing like these ways people could be involved. Some of that's just the march of time. Some of that is that doing a Minor Threat cover, yo, still super, still, it's still real to me, you know? But someone might hear that now and go, yeah, that's my dad's music. You know, that's 40 years ago. And, you know, the last thing I checked is Father Time's Undefeated, and we can't even argue that that's 40 years ago. So it just kind of is something that bubbles in my mind and something that we talk about in the dorm room way that we get into on here is that innovation's great, change is great. If you're not happy with it, guess what? There's still tons of bands doing the classic thing, the classic way. That said, if it wasn't for new sounds, I think hardcore would have been sealed in a dusty box many years ago. So shout out to everybody doing new things and pushing in different directions, including Drug Church. You know, shout out to them. Patrick, you're excited. You had some big news about Drug Church. Oh, that's right. His internet connection's gone. Tom.
I was like, wow, he's being quiet.
I know. He's just humble.
It never happens. It's like when the kids are out of the house and you'd be like,
oh. Yeah, it makes the car.
That's got good stuff coming up. Stuff that
I just made that shit up. No, I'm just saying that.
I mean, he's going on tour with Alkaline Trio.
Okay, here's the question for you, since he's off the line. Is it out of pocket for him to stand for Alkaline Trio and diss Blink-182?
No, I mean, I think that makes sense.
I know, it does. Though I'm a little confused. Yeah. For him, he's being nice.
I mean, I think you can like both bands. You can hate both bands. You can hate one and not the other. But for him, I think it's correct. Just more of a pose than an actual opinion.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he'll be like, yeah, Blink-182's got some like cute songs. And it's like, you know, I think I think Alkaline Trio has...
You're a fan. A
pretty
full on.
Perfect. Yeah. Oh, yeah, super fan. But I think, you know, I also like giving my druthers, man. Like, if someone goes, hey, man, you want to go see Blink-182 next week? I'd go, fuck yeah, I want to see Blink-182 next week. Like, yeah, they got enough songs that I would enjoy a full set of Blink-182 songs. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. 100%.
That's true.
You know, so it's like, they're a fucking great band. Alkaline Trio is just Pat being like, you know, I like the demo. I don't think that fucking dork is listening to Alkaline Trio either, which he should, because they're fucking fantastic. But
so I was actually going to on this episode before a what did he say? What did he blame this on? A windstorm?
There was a storm that took out Perth's internet.
We need some details on the storm from Perth.
I know. I'm trying to look up Perth weather.
I know it's
77 degrees. It really looks.
Here comes the winter. Patrick's just it's heading towards summer for them.
It's summer.
So I was gonna pitch, and I'll do it again next week, maybe. But I was gonna pitch.
Can I interrupt you for 1 second?
Yeah, go ahead.
For Perth, Western Australia, expect 25 degrees Celsius daytime maximum temperatures in the shade, with an on average 10 hours of sunshine per day. I would like to know what happened yesterday. I know, that fucked up. Would it get too nice out?
Yeah, it's just those sun rays. It's just all the cable Wi-Fi people like took off overheating. The day. Yeah,
they're like, I know there's a problem, holiday. But like, we're not working because it's beautiful out. Storm I'm on Smoko
in Perth. I'm on Smoko. All right, hold on. Here we go. Hold on. I'm doing some old school severe weather. Is Perth expecting a storm? No, partly cloudy. No, you're dead right there. Let's see news.
This will be great. Probably cursed some kid out of Fortnite, and that's why the internet shut off.
Yeah, he's in trouble. Yeah, yeah. He got on. He's the whatchamacallit's finally after him. Emmy is finally getting him.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I think it's
okay.
All nonsense.
Okay. All right. No, that's a long time ago. No, he's lying. He'd be lying.
No, all right, so it was September.
Yeah, that's the same thing. I was going to pose, do we want to do one big topic or a bunch of little topics? I think we're going to do today. We actually hinted at what my big topic was anyways. But we're going to do a bunch of little because I have some questions for you, many of which you will really be good at answering. Are you ready?
Whoa, I'm ready. This is pressure. Usually Pat talks a lot and then I go, yes.
No, I think you're actually, I'm happy for this.
I'm ready.
Let's start it off here because on a recent episode, somehow the Misfits came up. Maybe it was Patreon. Maybe it was Mainline. Yes. I think it might have been, whatever. And Patrick called the Misfits just a rock band. I bit my tongue pretty hard. Because I'm not going to, you know, I want to let him get his thing out. And I don't want to have the same argument about it.
And like, that's Pat's thing. He says dumb shit and then we let it slide. But they're obviously a punk band.
Obviously.
Earth AD is a hardcore record.
So that was the question I was going to pose to you, which I literally wrote out. Tom, has Patrick heard Misfits Earth AD?
Definitely not.
Right. Yeah. So he has no idea.
Maybe. Let's see. Did Earth Crisis? Somebody covered. Let me look at the track.
Oh, Earth Crisis definitely does a Misfits cover somewhere.
Did they do Death Come? I'm trying to think. Well, he would know Die Die My Darling, but I'm trying.
Did they cover another one? Here's my question.
Because Sick of It All does All Hell Breaks Loose, but that's not on there. And then I forget what Earth Crisis song, what Earth Crisis cover, what they cover.
On the Violent World. Yeah. So here's my thought. Let me do this. I'm going to play the Patrick.
Oh, they do AD, Earth AD.
They do AD. Yeah. There you go. I'm going to play the Patrick Contrarian role. Have I heard Earth ID? You mean what, the record where they fail and poorly try to be a thrash band? Yeah, I heard it. It's crap. Wow, not a punk band. I know, right? Sounds pretty Patrick-y.
Pretty good.
I like Earth ID, but I don't love it. Like I'm a Walk Among Us guy. Like it's just, and I like the singles.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, I get it, but they're a fucking punk band. I mean,
they're a punk band. What are we talking about? Do you think a 2024 Fugazi LP would be good? What would it be like?
I think it would be good because I think they're excellent at topical like lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Brendan Canty and Joe Lally continued to play in the Misthetics the whole time.
Yep.
So they're still the rhythm section's still killing it. You know, Guy is very, you know, busy at the Wizards games.
Yep.
But I think he could take some time off. I think that's a band that could age gracefully enough, and they were aging gracefully through instrument and hits and all that sort of stuff that I think it would be softer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think so. It would nonetheless would be great.
Well, I think they would only look, they wouldn't do it, probably full stop. But if they were to, what I think it would sound like, I think it would be softer just because of where all those folks are at musically. And if you listen to their.
Right. Ian's not yelling like he did. Yeah.
No, but I think they would feel an obligation to what the spirit of the band was to be more aggressive than some of their more recent projects. You know what I mean?
That I could see. It wouldn't be like the Evens or Misthetics. It would definitely be the punkier version of those things, but I don't think, yeah.
Yeah, they're not. There's no.
You're not getting Repeater out of them in 2024.
No. And I mean, like, this is the big credit.
It might be jammy,
I still need to check out, the latest Hammered Hulls release, Alec McKay's band, who I think the early. Did an EP that was fantastic. We talked about it a few years ago, but it's worth repeating. The Red Hair LP, I think they might have two full lengths. The first Red Hair LP is great. The fellow from Swizz, Sean Brown.
Sean Brown.
Fantastic record. And so there was, I believe, there has been a recent swath of newer material by older Discord bands, none of which has been embarrassing.
No, I was going to say, really cool. Those DC folks really like aged well. Didn't Ignition do something? There's a new Scream record. I don't know if it's out, but it's coming out.
Yep. So that's kind of
none of it's energy. None of it's cringy.
No. And
meanwhile, some other places fucking age like milk.
Yeah. That's another episode.
The Scream record came out this past Friday.
Yeah, that's right. No, it was really recent. I was struggling to remember if it was Scream or
Ignition. That's pretty funny. I knew it was coming. DC special.
Yep. And I think they own what they are and what they aren't. You know, like these folks, none of these folks are cosplaying 20-year-olds. None of them are trying to pretend they're reliving their adolescence. It's a different thing. And I think that's a note to everyone at large. Like, hey, you can still have emotions. You should still express yourself. You should still be all in on these things. But you don't need to pretend you're a 15-year-old if you're not a 15-year-old.
No.
In 18 different ways. This one I'm going to lean on you really hard.
Sure.
Is metalcore in a good place or a bad place right now?
Oof.
And if you need me to expand, I will.
Did we get this from somebody?
No. These are just little topics that came to my brain.
I mean, it's gotten to almost arena levels with some of our friends. You know,
yeah, I mean, yeah, they're right there.
One of
yeah.
the biggest, heaviest bands in the world. Like, it's fucking insane. But I mean, I think the metalcore that occurred in, like, you know, the late 90s, early aughts, you know, I guess lowercase metalcore.
Sure.
It sounds fucking quaint compared to what's considered metalcore in 2023. Sounds like youth of today compared to fucking what's happening in metal now.
Yeah.
Well, to me, I mean, I think it's, you know, and that's fine. That's cool. Like, cause like you said, things have to evolve, but like, Hope Conspiracy was a metalcore band.
Yep.
And you put them now, you'd be like, this could play a fucking basement in fucking Idaho. You know what I mean? Like, this is like a fucking hardcore band through and through. Like, there's no,
yeah, right. Because the evolution, the migration of hardcore to a more metal sound.
Right. It's pushed everything from the center. Yeah.
So this is why I ask, because Axe Grind's been a podcast for just under 6 years now. And about 5 years ago,
God damn.
There was this kind of like metalcore resurgence in a bunch of different directions, right? Like, bunch of different sound type things, you know. What's the one label?
Tribunal.
Thank you. Like, there was some Tribunal stuff. There was Trustkill. There's Noctur Luz. There was like Ferret. There's the more screamy kind of stuff. There's all this. There's all these different versions of it, right? And some of it, I think, went so supernova big that became the measuring stick. It's like, oh, if you're not like playing Thousand Cap Rooms every night, like, what are you even doing? And I, for a minute there, like, this is not my world, right? So I'm pure observer. But for a minute there, like when we were talking about this 5 years ago, I'm like, oh, this is interesting, because it's almost as if the ecosystem of the more metallic, the metalcore, quote unquote, metalcore, the version of metalcore that pushed itself a little further away from hardcore at a point because of its success, all that, was now coming around and creating almost a parallel scene, doing all the hardcore things, but sonically being more metal, which all of a sudden it's like, oh, well then, like, that registers to me, like, oh, okay, they're just doing that a little, you know, it's just same room, different sound kind of energy. And now I'm seeing less of that. And it's almost like it's all aimed at upward trajectory. Like, if it's not popping, if it's not succeeding, if it's not getting the tour support slots, I'm not hearing about it. Am I just not hearing about it? Is my big question.
No, I mean, I think there's a newer class of metalcore bands that are just, you know, not just starting out in the last couple of years, but like that are more hardcore in, probably in philosophy,
sure,
and in their like view, like,
well, and shout out to a band like Year of the Knife. Oh, you're gonna mention
Year of the Knife.
Yeah.
Right. Adrian, Balmora. There's a bunch of stuff that's happening now. It's really fucking cool.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Or like, even, you know, fucking Broken Vow. Like, there's so much stuff happening that, like, you know, Knocked Loose is a fucking once in a fucking, you know, hardcore generation band.
Right. And like, not gonna, honestly,
I don't give a shit how.
Like, at this point, we can say that Knocked Loose is as successful, maybe more, than Hatebreed. And yeah, that sounds crazy to say out loud, but just if you're not familiar, go look up Knocked Loose and look at some of the rooms they're playing, and not just like, oh, they're playing this big festival. Da, da, da. Like, go look and see how many people are responding and engaged their set. It's like wild.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's always hard. Like, I always have like these conversations with buddies, and it's just kind of like, you know, who's bigger, fucking, you know, Biohazard or Turnstile, like at their peaks? And I'm like, it's fucking hard to say. Yeah. I mean, I would say probably Biohazard, just because they were an arena, like playing arenas, you know, not headlining, but like, and sold like millions of records.
Yeah, at a different time. No,
you know, and like, of course, people don't sell records at that same clip as they do then, but still, a million is a million.
Yeah, a million is a million.
You know what I mean?
Yo, scalable numbers are interesting. If anybody wants to look at something, oh, God, this is amazing.
No, no, no.
All right, you go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I didn't.
No, million versus billion. Like, this always blows my mind. Is when you talk about like what is 1,000 to a million, or like 10,000 to a million. 10,000, like, you need to do that 1,000 times to get to a million. What?
Yeah, it's like,
wait, am I wrong? It's, you know, you have to do 10,000 100 times. I'm sorry, my math is bad. So you have to do, yeah, that's right. So a billion is 1,000 million. 10,000, which is a big number in hardcore and heavy music, 10,000 is a big number. Even in the 90s, you were a band who sold 10,000 records in hardcore. You're doing really well. Doing that 100 times over, what? That's outrageous. Right. Even in the early 90s, that's a big number. So, yeah, it's just scalability.
Even at the time, you know the numbers probably better than anybody, but like from like 95 on,
yep,
like there were like a handful of records that did 100,000 records.
Oh,
like hardcore release.
Handful.
Like,
yes.
You know what I mean? Probably like, you know, Scratch the Surface, probably a Snapcase record.
I mean, it's so many fewer Poison than you well. Would think. Poison the Well crossed it for sure. Yeah. Really big record.
Snapcase, I remember that was the talk, that it was like,
yeah,
the big the first big Snapcase record did 100. We're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, there's some
GB.
Yes. Well, but like, you got to remember, a record like GB came out in 1989.
Yeah. I'd be curious to see what they did. Like, I would love to see the GB, like, here's how many they sold from 89 to 94, and then from 95 to, like, I would love to see how many records GB sells.
Oh, yeah.
In 2023. Like,
you know,
well, what I'm saying, like, like, along with the, you know, like, obviously, because all like the streams and stuff like that. But if you put those all together, like, there's very few punk bands, period, larger scale punk bands, that are as consistently successful as Gorilla Biscuits.
Let's play it.
They go anywhere on any day.
Yep.
And sell out.
Yeah. The rooms
Gorilla Biscuits are bigger than Quicksand. Did you ever think in your lifetime Gorilla Biscuits would be bigger than Quicksand?
No.
And it is.
I probably didn't think about it. It is. How many monthly listeners, Spotify streams, do you think Gorilla Biscuits has?
If I had to guess, 220.
Only 102. But let me scale that. Youth of Today,
32,000
monthly listeners. Still nice. Our buddies in Judge, 19,700 monthly listeners.
Well, there you go.
You know what I mean? And like, so when we talk about Gorilla Biscuits, Judge, Youth of Today, Uniform Choice, 8,500 monthly listeners. So when you do that, and you had that great quote, Quicksand, who's released material recently, tours, is at, oh my God, 102,200 monthly listeners. Shout out to Walter.
Both 200
people. Yeah, 200K right behind. That's amazing.
200, right?
102,200 and G.
So 102,200.
Yeah. and 300 behind them. Yeah, yeah. Yo, how about this? And this goes to listenability, which is wild because, yo, I love me some Youth Today. I love me some Judge. Rival Schools monthly streams on Spotify, 53.7 monthly.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, but dude, I feel like that's pretty dope for a band that like doesn't really do that much.
No, no, they don't. They don't do much at all.
They're the third fucking arrow in his quiver.
Yes, yes. And he doesn't pull from that one very often.
No, you know what I mean? Like, it just, you know, I mean, there's all these, you know, the numbers only go so far, but like, you know, fucking Jawbox, 29,000.
I know. So anyways, I will say this, metalcore, my question about it, to the listeners, give us your current state of metalcore address. Where's it at? Does it register to you if it's too big? Is there stuff that only matters if it's big enough? Or is there a bubbling smaller scene that's just kind of finding a new place? Which I actually, Tom, you nailed it, I think, there. And I think, as we said, hardcore's migrated itself to this place that butts up with metal quite a bit. You know, I was listening to the Scarab EP.
Yeah.
That's a heavy band. They're like heavy, fast, intense. It's not.
It's a fucking hardcore band.
It's a hardcore band. Yeah, exactly. But it's got those metal hinges. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. But I think also the term metalcore, more than almost any like punk related term, mm-hmm. has been bastardized so much.
Sure, sure.
That it's like, you know, bullshit bands, fucking full bullshit bands are out there calling themselves metalcore. That it's like you wouldn't fucking know a Minor Threat song if you fucking, but like 35-year-old metalcore dudes. You know what I mean? I'm not saying some 22-year-old
that doesn't happen. Not the kid. No,
you know what I mean? Like that becomes like a thing that it's like, oh, you know, like bands that are like, I'm sure some of these kids are hardcore kids or whatever, but like, you know, I'm not going to say names because there's probably friends and friends that I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but like, it's like, there's no core.
Yep.
There's no core involved. And it doesn't have to sound like core.
No,
because I mean, if you were like we talk about Knocked Loose, like Knocked Loose doesn't sound like Minor Threat, but like those are hardcore kids and they have, you know, like they have fast parts.
So to the question of has it lost the kernel? Knocked Loose sonically, you might go, well, hey, they have as much in common with Obituary as they do Minor Threat.
Sure,
if not more. But and then you go, well, what about the way they operate their band? It's like, well, their band is gigantic and like has to play giant venues now. Like there's no option really.
Right. But they still look out for their friends whenever.
Sure. They, no question they do. They still do project bands. You know what I mean? They still go to shows at pizza spots, you know, like what are we talking about? Yeah. And when they started this band, they toured relentlessly for years playing little basements and wherever they could find. So credit to them. Even if the music's not for you, like they started as a hardcore band and held it that way. I got some more, but it's late. I'm getting ready. Our Spotify time. Yo, I love the hour thing. People said that to me. And now I'm like, all right, I'm going to stick it to you. We're going to come back with a bulky episode next week. We got some topics to discuss. Tom, I'm going to give you one last teaser, and it's a question for next week.
Am I answering this, or am I waiting until next week?
No, you're thinking. You're going to think about it.
All right.
What do you want to see from hardcore festivals next year? Just think about it. All right. Good night, everybody.